Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
Last night we noticed the subject of the accomplishment, or rather the glory of Christ, and this afternoon I'd like to notice with you the accomplishment of Christ. Christ has great glory, and Christ accomplished a great deed. Read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, Christ, that is, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Whether we realize it or not, every aspect of our self-analysis that renders a verdict in our own behalf as inadequate or inferior is actually an evidence of a need that goes all the way back to this passage or to the work of Christ. There's actually a law in the universe, whether we realize it or not, that compels upon us the need to measure up. Now, this is seen in a thousand different ways. Those who try to meet their quota at work, and if they miss, they're discouraged, may lose their job, in fact. But we see parents who, perhaps for one reason or another, have the sadness of children that don't turn out like they thought they would. Those of us who are pastors, we think that perhaps our churches would flourish and, you know, be a place where God's people would desire to come and be blessed. We can see it when years go by and we thought our marriages perhaps would be more than they really are. Children grow and think if they can just become a teenager, and then after a few years they find out being a teenager has the same troubles or maybe even more than being a child. And so all around us we carry with us, again, whether we realize it or not, a law that we ought to measure up, that we need to be perfect. And we're striving all the time to fulfill a imaginary goal that to us, if we could reach it, we would feel okay about ourselves. In fact, really the word righteousness itself has been described by some as being a resume that opens doors. And what do we mean by that? Well, whenever we are in a certain position in an attempt to be accepted, we all carry a resume about ourselves, even if it's not for a particular job. We might even look at ourselves, and maybe we're going to a particular function and we're concerned about whether or not we have the proper attire. Not a morning goes by at home but what I ask Charlotte is this okay. And sometimes I'm sent back to the bedroom, by the way. But I want to be accepted. I want to be okay. I want my resume to give itself or to open doors so that I'm within the group, that everything's like it ought to be. Well, this passage is actually dealing with the fact that rather than the continual struggle to think one day, someday, somehow, we're all going to measure up, that we ought to rather realize that our righteousness or our resume, that our holiness is actually found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that our good deeds and our good works are actually to issue from the fact of what He has done for us, rather than our good works be a performance that is going to gain a place in His sight whereby we measure up. And we may not realize it or not, but we're all by nature on a treadmill, regardless of our age, regardless of our position, regardless of our race, world around. Everyone is attempting in some way or another to try to measure up to the fact they live in a universe where God rules and God expects perfection. And the passage is very plain just because it makes the statement, He has made Him to be sin for us, indicates the fact that none of us can measure up. He did it for us because we could not do it for ourselves. And the problem is, whether you look at the Ten Commandments or you look at your personal goals, some have called it the Big L law, the law given at Mount Sinai, which before law, sin was in the world. Nevertheless, the Ten Commandments codified or brought into our awareness exactly what God was requiring. And often we look at that and we pretend that we're keeping it somehow. Before I can get to the good part here, I'm sorry, I've got to knock your knees out from under you. But the truth is that the joy of this text is found in the devastation of this text. He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That is, He made someone else to be something for us because we could not be what we needed to be for ourselves. So whether it's the big L or whether it's a little tiny L of how you measure up at the coffee shop, how you measure up at the school playground, how you measure up at any venue in which you desire to be known as someone great, it's all the conscience speaking boldly to us, you are not what you ought to be. Someone else must actually measure up in our place. Listen to passages which, with regards to the law that describe how we have missed the mark so far. In Romans chapter 3, he says this, "We know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law," and that's everyone, "that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." I'd like to encourage you this afternoon to recognize that you will never measure up. And we are actually deluding ourselves to whatever degree we think we're okay, or that our resume is opening the door for us to enter a room where everything is just exactly like it's supposed to be. In fact, he says just the opposite. He says that the law actually is to stop our mouths. "By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now we play tricks on ourselves. And again, you may or may not realize this, but we make a differentiation between outward sin and inward sin. We do this. In fact, we look at the Ten Commandments as all outward. And yet what really issues forth in our outward commission or omission that is sin is the inclination of the heart. It's from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds all the sin that's around us. And it's true among men. You certainly need to obey outwardly, whether you obey inwardly or not. I've been pulled over by the patrol, and I've wanted to say some things, but I knew it wouldn't go well if I did. So we must obey in this world outwardly, whether we feel like doing it inwardly or not. But in God's sight, God looks down even upon the heart. And our righteousnesses must exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and the Pharisees. And you yourselves know that what you're assessing about yourself, in fact, somebody has said, your inner lawyer gives you a whole lot more trouble than your inner child. And I think that's the truth. It's all the analysis, all the introspection, all the trying to figure out, did I do right or did I not do right? And Romans 5 makes it very plain that the Lord is analyzing, the Lord is looking, and that's really what's in our conscience, is how He's viewing us. The Lord's looking not only on the outward, but also on the inward. Notice as He speaks in verse 21, Matthew 5:21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. He's actually saying that in God's sight, and this is where your conscience is going to be, whether we realize it or not. God is saying that He views even our anger as murder. You know, I've murdered on the way to church before. As this text speaks. You don't like to hear a preacher say this. I've murdered my own children. Friends, what are we talking about? We're simply saying that rather than the good at heart that I should have, my own children at times could so frustrate me that the way it affected me angered me because I was all about myself. As a pastor, this is awful, isn't it? It's awful. I've murdered church members or deacons. Friends, the sense of this is the just stark reality of it is, I want to be God instead of God be God. And I want things to be the way I wanted them to be, so that I could be okay in my own sight with regards to my church or my marriage or my work. And He says, whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And he's just saying there, if we insult people. And then He goes on to say, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. He's saying, if I say someone's so foolish, how could they think of such a thing? Well, I've thought of that many times. What is wrong with them? I would never have thought of doing that. That is so foolish. but in the sight of the Lord. And you see, it's not just a God that's up there in angry requirement of being holy, though He is holy and though He has wrath against that which is not holy. It's that holiness is the blessed life, the pure life, where we think of others and do for others and serve others for their good and betterment. And I'm not that way. And then I think if I can just act outwardly, even though I'm seething within, I'm okay. My children know better than that. My wife definitely knows better than that. She can ask me to do something and I do it. But on the inside, I hated doing it. And that brings about all the troubles in the world and the difficulties in the world. It actually brings out all the reality of actual murder. But the hatred, you sense it. You sense it everywhere. Surely no one could be going through this political season without the awareness of the rancor and the bitterness and the hatred that exists within the human soul. And it's disturbing and it's troubling. We don't measure up individually or collectively. Now, what is to be done? Man at his best state, the scriptures say, is altogether vanity. When I do right and when you do right, you're proud of doing right. We're a case. And when I do right and I'm proud of doing right, I want others to know I've done right. It's not just the doing. I want to be measured as one that does so very, very well. And yet, if we'll be honest, it's what keeps us awake at night and requires so much of our awareness of self. I don't measure up. I don't fill the bill. I'm not what I ought to be. Others have done better than myself. We're all the time judging. Paul said it's not wise to do it, but we're all the time doing it. How am I ever going to have a sense within my own mind and conscience that I'm okay? How will I ever feel in the presence of others, which is actually the presence of God, that everything is all right? How will I ever have the proper motive to serve the Lord out of pleasure and goodness instead of guilt and demand? How will it ever be? Is there any hope in the entire universe for such a heart to exist? Yes, there certainly is. And our text declares to us this grand and glorious news. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. You know, it would be one thing if there was a basketball player who had done so poorly and the coach called him over and said, you know, I shouldn't ever let you play again. You missed the free throws. You all the time were in the wrong place. You weren't where you were supposed to be to catch the pass. And everything is just wrong with you. But I'm not going to hold it against you. That's one thing. But it's a totally other thing if the coach says, I am going to say that you were the star player and that you made the 27 points and that you made the three-pointer from midcourt in the last second that won the game. I'm going to give that all to your account. But that's the truth of the gospel. He took all the areas, all the sin. And if we're not careful, we take sin as this almost unknown object out here that has a word that describes it, but doesn't reach our soul. But I want you this afternoon to realize that Christ took every area of our lives in which we're so well aware that we did not measure up and we continue not to measure up in thought, in word, and in deed. And he took all of that and he laid it on Christ, and that the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, manifest in the flesh, who came to die for all of those that were given him before time began. And the reason he came is because he loved his people and he desired for them that they would be free from the bondage of this sin and that they would have a day in which they could actually live free in mind, free of conscience, and have a sense that if everyone else thought ill of them, they would know their okay because God has said they're okay. And the reason that they're okay is because the Lord took all of our sin and laid it upon Christ, and in his work on the cross in our behalf, he suffered the penalty of the law that should have been laid upon us, and we have been set free. But it's more than we've been set free. It's that we are actually charged with his righteousness. You see, it's not just that Christ suffered in our behalf, though thank the Lord that eternal punishment is not ours, but it's actually that Christ fulfilled the law in our behalf. And as the passage would say there in Matthew 5, until heaven and earth would pass away, not one jot or tittle would ever pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And Christ did indeed fulfill the law totally. It actually is true this afternoon that though I am a wretch by nature, I am righteous in the sight of God. And it's the same with you. There is such a thing as a righteousness that stands for us and is in our place rather than our own righteousness. It's actually true that I can analyze myself and say that I am free from the penalty of the law. I am free from the attempt to ever be perfect for perfectness' sake. That I am free from the burden of trying to be perfect so that I can feel good about myself according to my own works. I am actually set so free that in Christ I am made righteous, the text says, through him. It's a legal thought. It's a legal designation that in the sight of God, I stand as holy. Now, friends, we need to understand that that truth in the sight of God, the law that pervades the whole universe, that is upon our conscience, this trickles down, if you will, it distills down, it comes down deep into your soul, so that when you analyze self, when you think of self, when you measure self, when you're in the presence of someone else, you're aware that you don't fit in, you can't seem to be what's right, yet you know there's a God in heaven that is pleased through Christ with you. And that truth frees us from the bondage of measuring up for measuring up's sake. And we are so astounded by what has been done for us, we serve in good works for joy rather than pride. We serve to bless instead of to get. We actually endure because of what has been done for us, rather than endure to get what we want done for us. It's already been accomplished. Listen to this passage. He has made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, or in our place, who knew no sin. Now, it's one thing if He had been bearing His own sin, but the Holy Lamb of God, who had no sin, knew no sin, did no sin, had all of our sins placed upon Him. He bare in His own body, as Peter would say in chapter 2, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So He made Christ to be sin for us, all the elect family of God, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so it's the truth of the gospel. Here is the gospel declaration. This blessed truth of good news. It's not an offer of righteousness. It's not that we can become righteous. It's that we are righteous. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's revealed in the gospel that you're already righteous. It's revealed in the gospel that Christ has accomplished what you're so desperately seeking. And then we need to apply the truths of the gospel every day. How is it with you? We rise up every morning and we look in the mirror. You rise and live every day and you know you don't measure up. What are you doing with that? How are you dealing with that fact? We are to deal with it by going directly to the Lord and say, Lord, try as I would, I'll never meet the standard. But thank God He did meet the standard in my place. Thank the Lord that You look at me through the work of Christ and I am okay in Your sight because of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You look at me through love. You look at me through tenderness. I've said this before, but I'll say it again just to kind of shake the terms up a little so maybe it'll sink in a little deeper. But the Lord is crazy about me. Now, that's I know that's crazy thought. It's not theologically, correct in the sense that it has the high tones of the way perhaps we usually think. But it gets the point across. God loves you in Christ. God is pleased with you in Christ. God is for you in Christ. And so live in the blessing of what's been done for you. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we would be made the righteousness of God in Him. And since God was doing the work, it has been accomplished. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Romans 5 declares it this way in these legal terms, in the sense of federal headship. He says so plainly, verse 18, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And the verse above it, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Just two Sundays ago, somebody at the church said, Brother Dickey, if somebody gives you something, don't you have the right to refuse? And I said, and you've heard the account, we have a big brother, big spiritually, big physically. And he was sitting across the table. And I said, if he decides to give me a left hook, do you think I have to receive it? No, I will receive it. And friends, God has given His children righteousness. View yourselves in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the blessing of Him that made us righteous in what He did instead of our own works.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.